You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Yeah, hi, Jim. It's good to be with you on our Friday morning to get together. Yep.
Statistically, Canada is now in recessions. Technically, that means two quarters without growth in the GDP, negative growth. In other words. So is that something to worry about? Is it just a technical term or is it reality?
I think it's reality. And also the natural governing party, the Liberals in the bureaucracy in Ottawa, and particularly under Trudeau, just messed Canada up something awful. And at the moment, the U.S. is pretty robust because they have, reform going on. And the tariffs is bringing money in like you wouldn't believe. But altogether, Jim, as we've been outlining for a couple of months now, it is making for another great financial bubble. This would be number six. Number five was 1929. And the first one was the South Sea Bubble of 1720. And this is interesting because as they occurred in England, when then London was the financial capital, so that was the place that counted, they all blew out in May and then did it through the summer and crashed in the fall. So this is where perhaps the old saying is, sell in May and go away. Maybe it's based upon that, because I don't know. Oh, I haven't looked around to see if I can date how far back sell in May goes. But anyways, I'll look it up. So, yeah, it's a fascinating world out there.
Now, I know a lot of times when people say, well, technically, okay, so there was negative growth, but does this apply to the real economy? Bob, does it?
Oh, yeah. No, I think it is an indicative number. And then the other day, I was going through some old books I've got here, and this one is called The Rope Spinner Conspiracy. And here's what the book back says. Alludes to Lenin's conviction that capitalists, in their greed for profit, eventually will sell their enemies even the rope by which they can be hanged. Imagine that a leading American economics professor, along with his brilliant former student and protege, now the chief executive of the country's preeminent commercial banking institution. Anyways, they agree to perform as Soviet agents. Imagine further that their secret mission is to encourage risky innovations in Wall Street that will gradually weaken the entire U.S. financial system to the point where only an extra shove will produce another 1929. So I just stumbled on it the other day, and I thought, oh, that description of the book is very appropriate today. But it's not being operated by the proteges of Lenin. It's not being operated by Moscow communists. It's interventionist economists who have taken Keynesian theories about a group of economists at a central bank can manage the economy. So, and the end result is that they're always worried that each recession is going to turn into another Great Depression. So on each recession, They're inflating like mad to prevent it from turning into a Great Depression, but they don't understand that you need about 10 or 12 business cycles over maybe 50 years before you get where you're at the point that a great, well, first of all, a great bubble is needed to set up a Great Depression. And what do we have now? And we've been talking about it, Jim. We're in the greatest financial bubble in history. And what's more, some people are looking and saying everything's going up. So it's also been called the everything bubble. And it's now accomplished. There's no way that this can be brought down gently. So we are in the culmination of a great bubble. And as I've said, as when London was the financial center, the tendency was for it to peak in May. And then in 1929, with New York, the peak was in that fateful September. And then also in the 1873 bubble in New York, the peak was in that equally fateful 1873. And then you went into the first time economists used the term Great Depression was in 1880. And in England, the contraction following 1873 was very prolonged and surprised the economists. And that's then it was 1880 when they described the existing weakness as the Great Depression. And it prevailed a natural conclusion in 1895. And then you had the long expansion and then into the party of 1929. And then you went into another Great Depression. So here we are. The everything bubble, everything is party, and there seems to be no end to it. But the action itself is setting up the ending, and we'll watch it as we go through the summer and into the fall.
Could this been triggered by a change in Canada's immigration policy? Trudeau is bringing in about 1 million people a year, and now they've drastically cut that back, and the universities that relied on foreign students for their funding no longer have it. Could that have been the straw that broke the camel's back?
No, it's Jim, those are news items on the fact that it's a great financial bubble. Now, Canada's economy never participated in it because Trudeau's policies were to destroy the economy and drive the wealth. Well, they were micromanaging it, and capital doesn't like nasty governments. So the free capital just left Canada, went away to where it was friendly, which is the United States. So Canada's economy relative to the Group of Seven has been quite dismal. And yet the government still has huge demands on the taxpayers. And it's getting absolutely absurd. And fortunately, it's beginning to set up a popular movement against the very intrusive Ottawa. Now, get me on this one. Ottawa cannot be reformed because it is the central point of power and they will never give it up. So somewhere the beleaguered taxpayers have got to find a way to disarm Ottawa. Maybe the western provinces actually separating would be a step in that direction. It'd be fascinating to watch, Jim.
We'll have more with Bob Hoyes. He takes a look at some interesting headlines right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy. Your first headline you take a look at is from What's Up. Former British Prime Minister Tony Blair, headline, abandon net zero and move closer to Trump.
Yeah. Now, the net zero is to manage an economy that doesn't generate any CO2. I mean, these guys are from outer space on this, but no. CO2 is increasing, but it should be understood that even at 400 parts per million, geologically speaking, this is the low side. And because, you know, a few hundred thousand years ago, it was up to 7,000 parts per million and had no effect on weather or the climate or anything like that. And it's, matter of fact, it follows. So the records show that if you've been in a cooling trend and then it turns around and starts a long warming trend, that carbon dioxide in the atmosphere will follow by 500 or 600 years. So, but the control freaks have used it as a way to control. Now, Carney, our prime minister, was a central banker. And maybe it was about 15 years ago when he had an epiphany because he had discovered that carbon dioxide causes global warming. The next step, he said that global warming was bad. So he had a special presentation to central bankers. And the essential thing was that they now had a really good excuse to control the major corporations because they had to do certain things to avoid global warming and CO2. And, you know, life has been on our essentially hospitable planet for damn near a billion years. And the record shows that every time it's warming, it's very good for whatever critters are on our planet. And when it's cooling, like in an ice age, it's not very good. And at one time, quite a few hundred million years ago, the whole of the globe was virtually covered with ice or slush, and one great slush ball. Now, Jim, how much life was on Earth then? Or if you go to even anywhere in Canada in the Rocky Mountains where there is an alpine glacier, and get to the toe of it and lift it up if you can, and how much life are you going to find under the ice? Well, just imagine that on the last extent of the ice age, the ice made it all the way down to Chicago. And can you imagine, again, being in Chicago, lifting it up, and what kind of life form you had there? So these guys who are pushing global warming as a threat are absolutely insane, but driven by the madness of power. They want to control people.
Well, I did see a disturbing study by NASA that said in 10,000 years, the Earth is going to start losing oxygen one molecule at a time because the sun is going to start expanding to become a red giant. So, you know, so it's going to get really warm, Bob, but I don't know if carbon taxes will handle that.
100 million years from now.
Yeah, well, 10,000.
Oh, no, those guys are seeking headlines for grant money, I would guess.
Now,
then we got another headline.
Canada has a $500 billion opportunity if it acts more like the U.S. Does that mean we start a war with Iran?
No, I don't think so. Now, here's one that I liked. Anthropic, this is some kind of a company, nears the $1 trillion valuation. Now, how about ahead of its mega IPO, initial public offering, or that's we used to call it a new issue. So, I mean, $1 trillion is a huge size, and it's some magic high-tech stuff. Well, in 1929, the big high-tech story was Radio Corp of America, RCA. And that was radio. That was wonderful. The stock got up to about $125. The estimate was $3 a share earnings. All was well. And then with the Great Crash, it went all the way down to maybe $1.25. And the earnings disappeared and it operated loss for years. But what I like is it wasn't until about 1956 or 57 that they got back to making $3 a share. It was based upon Elvis Presley. Now, in 1929, nobody could predict Elvis Presley. So history is so fascinating, Jim.
Right. And that headline we looked at, if Canada acted more like the U.S., $500 billion boom, that was connection with data centers, AI, and embracing high tech.
Yeah.
Now, we have a headline from Reuters. Inflation challenges U.S. Treasury's traditional role in portfolios.
Yeah. U.S. Treasuries, long-dated Treasury bonds. Well, people are avoiding them because the boom has got inflation going up and it's got long Treasury bonds going down in price. And as also in that formula, you get yields going up. And this is what's happening, and it gets very pricey. Now, if you're holding long-dated treasuries, and many fund managers do, and the bond prices keep crashing, you're in bad shape. But here's the irony, Jim, on the interest rate side of the picture. It's that once this boom is over, the treasury bill rate is going to roll over and decline. And it can decline to 0%. So now if you're in treasury bills or related deposits and things, every month in your rollover, you're going to get less and less money. And the trouble is the further out the yield curve, you're going to get killed on the price depreciation. So we like to suggest that people take a look at 3 to 4 year maturities in good grade corporate bonds. You'll get a higher coupon. And then with 3 years, they're going to mature at par. And if you got a good corporation, they're going to meet the maturity. So it's really good for fixed income accounts to get the 3 to 4 year maturities. And then for Canadian accounts, if you've got a complete broker you deal with, one can buy U.S. 3 to 4 year good grade corporates, and then you'll get the bang out of the U.S. dollar as the Canadian continues to depreciate. So, I kind of like that. 3 to 4 year good grade corps. Yeah.
Now, there's been a lot of discussion of manipulation in the oil market with headlines going peace on, peace off in the Strait of Hormuz. Is there manipulation going on here? Are these false portents of the Hormuz Strait or the Strait of Hormuz is open, now it's closed going on?
Oh, no. That is changes in policymakers in Iran, and it's all they're crazier than you know what, and then you got Trump is gaming it very well, and so I think that the Iranian crazy mullahs are about to capitulate and say no, we can't do it. So, in which case they give up their ambition to build an atomic bomb and take out Israel. That's really what they want to do. They're driven, and they've been 47 years at it since the overthrow of the Shah. which provided reasonable government at the time.
Now, we have a headline here, chart of the day, this won't end well. What won't end well, Bob?
Whatever's going on now.
Oh, so we really are into the bursting of the bubble, not just in Canada.
Oh, yeah, no, it is. The bubble is very much on, Jim. It is the everything bubble. And as I say, historically in London, they peaked in May. Historically in New York, they peaked in September. So we're going to watch it and see how it does.
Mm-hmm. Bob, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Yeah, Jim, good to be with you and with our listeners out there. Now, they're in the ether, aren't they?
Well, I don't know. Are they with the ether bunny?
Oh, that's the old line for what do you call the anesthetized rabbit?
The ether
bunny.
Mm-hmm.
There we are. Let's move on from these bad puns.
Bob, have a great weekend.
You too, and we'll talk next week.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. If you have any questions for Bob, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.